prayer. Prayer. If you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you'll remember in verse number 17, the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. That's a tall order. It really is. To pray without ceasing. It's a commandment. It's within a trilogy of commandments. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's obvious they go together. It's obvious. There's no way that you can look at the context in which they're written that you don't understand that these things are, they fit together. In other words, when you realize the resources that God has given you, you rejoice evermore. When you really realize who you are in Christ, you will rejoice. You will. And as you rejoice, you begin to pray, even if it's in the form of giving thanks, because that is a posture of prayer. That is one way that we pray. Wrapped in that word prayer is thanksgiving. And oftentimes those words are used together, prayer and thanksgiving, because that is a form of prayer. Prayer and thanksgiving. And so as you begin to pray and God begins to hear and answer your prayer, it just leads you right back to rejoicing. And then as you rejoice evermore, then it leads you to giving thanks. And then as you give thanks, it's a form of prayer. And so these things, you see how they're interwoven? You just can't separate them. They go together. If you're doing one, you're doing all of them. It's a trilogy of commandments that are interwoven that God said, I want to work this in your heart so that it can be a reality in your life. And I think that it begins with, I really do, I think though that rejoice evermore comes first, I think that it begins with prayer. I think as we begin to pray, our communion with God deepens. It leads us into a deeper communion with the Lord. And as we have a deeper communion with the Lord, we realize who He is and who we are in Him. It causes us to rejoice and to give thanks. Does that make sense to you? And so, when it comes to this, verse 17, pray without ceasing. I'll be the first to say, that's a tall order. It's a stern commandment. It doesn't sound stern until you realize God means that. That's just not a suggestion. It's a commandment. God wants us to pray without ceasing. Now, in order to do that, we have to understand what God is saying. God is not saying that He wants us walking around chanting or mumbling some words in the form of prayer. He just wants us to be in the attitude, and He wants us to be in the mindset of prayer at all times. Now, the Bible teaches that we are to walk, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we are to walk even also as He walked, Christ. And I believe that we're to love as He loved. And as we do, then people will realize, hey, you belong to that Jesus. By this, all men shall know that you are my disciples, right? If you have love one for another. And as we love as He loved, people say, oh, okay, you're one of His. You love like He loves. And we ought to walk like He walked. But we ought to pray like He prayed. Now, here's the catch, and I want you to get this, okay? This is something God's been really working, not on me, but kind of working me over, you know? And I'm glad when God works me over. I'm not really glad when it is going on, but afterward, I'm always better for it. And I think those of you who know what I'm talking about, you get it. You know, we don't really enjoy the discipline that comes with God's teaching sometimes, but we're thankful for it after the fact. For no chastisement for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous, right? But afterward, it's joyous, and it works the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, God just does a work in our heart. So here's what I like to do. I want to have a word of prayer. And there's two parables that I gave you the Sunday morning that I preached, and I really only got to one of them. There's two parables in the Bible that teaches praying without ceasing. And they're different. And the reason they're different is because the other parables, as I study the parables of the scripture, are all saying, okay, these parables are a comparison. God is like this. God is like the father that goes after the prodigal son. You see what I'm saying in that parable? God is the father that goes outside and invites the son that stayed home, the elder brother, to come in. And God is like the king, and God is like, and all of these parables that Jesus gave, they're comparison. Our God is like this. It's comparing the king, it's comparing the father of those parables to our God. But these two parables are not comparisons, they're contrast. And they're saying, you know, this is not like our God. And I just find it very interesting that those two parables deal with this matter right here. Pray without ceasing. There's great truths that we can learn, because what Jesus is saying in these parables, and I'm kind of laying a foundation before I get into it, because I want you to see it when we read it and kind of make some comments on it. He's saying, if your friend, which was a reluctant friend, is like this, just imagine how your father will be. If you have a friend that would not want to get out of bed to give you loaves to feed a stranger, okay, you remember that parable? We'll turn to it in a moment, Luke 11. He said, could you imagine if you have someone that's reluctant to help you, how much more shall your Father in heaven, who loves you, who's working from the greater to the lesser, he sent his son to die for you. That's the greater. How much more shall he not with him give you all things? That's Romans 8:32. And so he said, you know, God wants to bless you. God wants to answer your prayer. God's not saying, go away, you know, when you're knocking on his door and you're saying, I need this. He's not saying, go away, I'm already in bed, you know. See the contrast? God's not like that. And so what Jesus is teaching is, you really need to understand who you're praying to. And not only who you're praying to, but your position to who you're praying to. You're his son. You're not some neighbor, some friend who's asking for somebody. You're his son. And so you don't hesitate to ask your heavenly father. That's what Jesus is teaching. It's a contrast. The second contrast is a woman, a widow woman, who went before an unjust judge. And this is in Luke 18. And she goes before this unjust judge and she said, listen, she said, you know, I want you to make this right. I have an oppressor and they're trying to take what little I have. And the judge basically said, look, I don't care about God. I don't care about man. Just go away, woman. And Jesus is saying, this is not who your God is. Your God is not some judge who doesn't care about your situation. Your God is your father. You're not going before the law. You're going before the throne of grace. And you need to understand that you are now in the family. You are an heir. Amen? Do you see? And so when we unpack this in just a moment, I want you to get that. I want you to understand. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know, I've prayed this so many times, or I've prayed and nothing happened, or I prayed and it didn't happen the way I thought or in the time I thought. And what Jesus is teaching here is, you keep praying. Don't you quit praying because it didn't work out the way you thought it would. God has a plan. And God wants to hear you as you come to him in prayer. You keep coming to him. Don't you let the flesh, don't you let the enemy, don't you let the situation prohibit you from continuing to go to the throne of grace. You keep going. That's what he's saying. Don't you stop. You pray without ceasing. Don't you quit praying. And in both instances, he said, don't quit praying. That's what he said. So we're going to look at that here in just a moment. Let's pray, and then we'll turn to the scriptures and look at them. Pray without ceasing. I pray that as we come to the end of this year, and if Jesus is gracious enough to allow us into another year, that this would be our focus in the new year. God, help me to understand who I am and who you are and why I should come to you in prayer without ceasing. It will change our lives. Father, help us to understand your scripture. Open our understanding. Enlighten our eyes and the eyes of our hearts that we could receive your truth. I pray for the ministry of your word and the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Lord, that you would illuminate our minds and teach us your word in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want you to do something. I want you to turn to Luke chapter number 11. And I'm not going to spend much time in Luke 11 because I did go through, if you'll remember that Sunday morning, and it's been about a month, maybe 5 weeks ago. And so if you're like me, you won't remember it. And I preached it. I remember the major truths, but I don't remember, I couldn't tell you everything I preached. I have it written down, though, so I can refer to it. All right, let's see what he says here. Luke 11, it came to pass in verse number 1 that as he was praying in a certain place. Now, we're going to get back to that, okay? We're going to get back to that. Jesus was praying. Remember what I said now. We're to walk as he walked. We're to love as he loved. And I believe God wants us to pray as he prayed. Let me just show you that before I get into it, okay? What does it mean? Because we have to understand this. I want you to get this now. When I think of praying without ceasing, my first thought is just always praying. You know, I always praying. I know better than that. But when I first would hear or read this, I think, well, my goodness, am I just to go around praying all the time? Well, no. But I am to be in the mindset, I am to have open communication. The word without ceasing is a reoccurring term. Prayer is a general term. Prayer can be thanksgiving, it can be petition, it can be intercession, it can be request, supplication. And so that word prayer in that verse is a general word for prayer. There are some more specific words in the New Testament for prayer. But that when Paul wrote that, it was the general term. Just go to the Lord with your petitions, with your supplications, with your intercessions, with your thanksgiving. You just take it to God in prayer. And then when he said without ceasing, that means just it's a reoccurring. It doesn't mean just always chanting or mumbling prayer. It just means you just keep the line open. Keep the line open and keep praying. Just keep praying. Let me give you a biblical example of Jesus doing that. Because here in verse number 1, are you looking at Luke 11? Look at verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased. Now, some would say, well, he's not praying without ceasing. Well, sure, it says he ceased. So you see, Jesus, this is speaking of Jesus. And so when the Apostle Paul said pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean to always be praying. It means to always be in the attitude, always have an open line, always be in a mindset, always have your spirit in tune with God's spirit so you can always go to him in prayer. It's a reoccurring. Now, Jesus did that, and this is a beautiful thing. In Matthew chapter number 11, now, I think there's maybe one other place, but this is the place that always comes to my mind, Matthew 11. Now, some of you are familiar with Matthew 11 because of the way it ends. It ends with what we call the great invitation. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, right? And I will give you rest. So you know that. Now, Matthew 11 is one of my favorite chapters in all the New Testament. It's about where John the Baptist sent his disciples unto Jesus. And he's, you know, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? He was in prison, John the Baptist was, and Jesus answers. And I mean, what great insight to the person of John the Baptist, but also to the heart of Jesus Christ. We get down in verse number 20 of Matthew 11, and he began, the Bible says in verse 20, then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And so he begins to go down. He walks down and he's saying, you know, woe unto you. And I want you to watch what happens here. This is beautiful. So here he is, and he's saying, you know, in verse number 24, I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than in the day of judgment than for thee. And then it says in verse 25, at that time. So here he is, and he's before the people of these cities, and he's saying, you know, woe unto you, woe unto you. You know, you will not allow mighty works to be done in you. And then at that time, it says in verse number 25, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father. You see how he just transitioned right into talking to people and then just went right into talking to his Father. That's praying without ceasing. You keep the line open. At any moment, you can just enter into conversation with God. And Jesus said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, and he begins, and he right on down, and then it comes verse number 28. And he just leaves from talking to the Father, and then he goes back to talking to the people. That's praying without ceasing. It's just so natural. He's talking to people, and then he just starts talking to God, and then he just starts talking to people again. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, we've got to get on our knees and fold our hands. You know? I'm not saying you shouldn't get on your knees when you pray. You don't have to be, but I think it's a good thing, but you don't have to be. And I think sometimes we miss what's being taught here. Jesus had that constant communion with the Father, and he wants you to have it. He wants me to have it. And so he's saying, pray without ceasing. Be in that attitude to where you can just be in the most jubilant times or in the most sorrowful times, and you can just start talking to God and say, and just tell him what's on your heart. And that's exactly what happens here. And that's how God wants me to pray. That's how God wants you to pray. All right? God wants us just to be in constant communion and contact with him. If we're not careful now, we'll think, well, now praying is like the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, that was intense. We may touch on that a little bit before tonight, but it was intense. But not all prayer has to be intense. Not all prayer has to be sweating, as it were, great drops of blood and agonizing. Now, there should be prayer that is agonizing. There should be prayer that is energizing and that drains us. The burden of prayer. So I hope you see what is taught here. We ought to be just in constant communion. Be driving down the road, and all of a sudden just start talking to Jesus, just talking to the Heavenly Father. You do that, don't you? You know, just laying in bed, and you're just talking to God, and you go to sleep. I do that most every night. I'm not saying that I'm something. Probably most of you do. I'm just laying in bed talking to God, and then the next thing I know, I'll wake up a couple hours later, and I'll think, okay, and I'll try to pick up where I left off. Pray myself back to sleep again. Right? You know what I'm talking about. And that's what God wants. Now, he wants that for all of us. He wants us to have that open line of communication to where we can just talk to him and know that the throne room of his grace is open. The access is made available. We shouldn't have to go into all this confession of sin and making things right with others before we can pray. That's what he means when he says, you know, you pray without ceasing. Don't you let anything get between you and God now when it comes to prayer. Don't you let some squabble you have with a family member or a church member or a neighbor or a fellow worker cut off your line of communication to God in prayer. That's what we're being taught here. You pray without ceasing. You keep the channel open. You keep the line open. Don't you let anything cause you to be in a place to where you can't just go right into the presence of God and pray freely and deliberately with intention. Everybody understand what the scripture, this is what the scripture is teaching, brethren. It's so important. It's so important. Now I want you to go back to Luke 11. And so Luke 11, verse number 1, it says that he was praying in that place, and the disciples came to him, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And you know now what happens here. He gives them what's called the model prayer, the disciples' prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. And that's okay. It's a model. And then he says this in verse number 5. He said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Now, you heard this message on the Sunday morning that I preached. I'm not going to re-preach it. But I will tell you this. What Jesus is saying here, he's saying when you pray, you're not praying to somebody like this. Okay? You're not praying to somebody like this. You're not praying to somebody. When you're knocking on heaven's door, when you're going into the throne room, you're not praying to somebody who's going to come to the door at, like this reluctant friend. Notice what it says now. He answered from within, verse 7, and he said, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. He said, now, that's not who you're praying to. Now, the enemy will try to make you think God is that way sometimes. Don't bother me. You know, you keep coming with this thing, and you won't do any different, so just leave me alone. He said, the enemy will try to make you think that. And some people have given up on praying for a person, for a situation, maybe even for their self, maybe for a besetting sin, because the devil has defeated them in believing, my father is like this friend. Not very good friend. This is not a very good friend. As a matter of fact, a lot of people have referred to this friend as the reluctant friend. He was reluctant, and I'm glad that my father's not reluctant to help me. And so he gets on down, and he says, you know, your father, this guy got up in verse number 8. He finally did get up, though he will not rise to give him because he is his friend, yet because of his opportunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. He said, so your father is not like this friend who is going to say, okay, you know, anything to get you to shut up. That's not the way God answers our prayer. That is the way this guy dealt with him. And maybe you've heard it preached that way before, but I'm here to tell you, there's a God in heaven, and he's my father, and he's a greater friend than this friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, amen? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, right? Oh, what needless care we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. God wants us praying. And God is not like this, a reluctant friend. This is what is called a contrast. It's constructive in style. It's not comparison. Jesus is not saying that when you pray, this is the way God is. He's not saying that at all. He said, this is the way God is not. And so don't you get that in your mind. He even said in verse number 9, he said, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. And then he said, you knock and it shall, and you shall find. You knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And he said, you know, what son? Now watch this. Here it is. He said, you're not a friend. You're a son. You're going to your father. And he said in verse number 10 or 11, if a son shall ask bread of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? He said, you know, is God going to treat you this way? God wants to help you. God wants to meet your need. God wants to be your resource. This is what this parable's teaching. It's not teaching that God's up in heaven saying, oh, quit, you're bothering me. Go away, son, you bother me. Can't you see that I'm tired of dealing with you? I got enough going on. That's not what this is teaching, because it's not a comparison parable. It's a contrastive parable. You understand? I trust that you do. I trust that you do. I think verse number 13 really sums it up when he said, if ye then being evil, you know, men are evil. The friend wasn't a very good friend. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your father shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He said, God is going to meet your every need. He's going to do it through the person of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, go over to Luke 18. This is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. Luke 18, this is the second of what are contrast parables. And it deals with our praying. Remember now, Jesus was praying in Luke 11. And when they heard him praying, they said, you know what? We want to get in on that right there. Amen. We want to get in on that. They heard him praying, and when he ceased, they said, hey, could you teach us? That's what we want. We want that right there. We want that. We heard that oneness, that communion with God the Father. Now, here in Luke 18, we're dealing with prayer again. And we're dealing with keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. Notice how Jesus opens Luke 18, or the scripture does. It says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and what? Not to faint. Just keep praying. Don't you give up on praying. Don't you quit. That's what he's saying. Don't you let circumstances, situations, the enemy, people stop you from praying. You keep praying. You pray without ceasing. That's what he's saying. You just keep praying. But I pray, preacher, and what I prayed for didn't happen. You keep praying. Oh, I prayed and it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. I didn't get the answer I was looking for. Well, God's going to answer you the way that he sees best for your life. Remember now, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much will your heavenly Father give? He's going to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. God's going to give us the best. He's going to give us what's best for us. And so he said here in verse number 2 of chapter 18, he spoke this parable, and here's what he said. He said, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Boy, he's a good one, isn't he? I mean, how'd you like to sit under that judge? And the scripture says, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now, there are some people that will say this. There were some people that will preach this. I've heard it, brother. And they say, well, you know, that's God. Okay. What? God never gets weary of us asking him. God says, pray without ceasing. The scripture just said in verse number 1 that Jesus spoke a parable and said that men ought always to pray. And yet, you can go just a few verses down and somebody say, well, that's God saying, you know, you weary me with your praying, son. Not at all. Not at all. That's not what this parable is teaching. So what is it teaching? It's not comparison. God is like this judge. Not at all. God is the exact opposite from this judge. Number one, he's not my judge anymore. He's my Father. Amen. And I'm not going to a court of law. I'm going to a throne of grace. See, we have to understand what's being taught here. And then he said this. He said that in verse number 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So there's a couple of things we need to look at here. I want you to notice the last word, the last sentence there, shall he find faith? And then if you look at the first verse, he spake a parable that unto this end that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. Faint and faith. All right? And if you're not praying, you will faint. You understand that? If you're praying, your faith's being built. You're praying because your faith is strong. You're praying because you depend on God. You realize that God is your sufficiency. We realize God is our resource. And so we're going to our resource and we're saying, God, you supply. We trust you. We depend on you. You meet the need. We're coming to you and we're asking for you to do these things for us. So he said, don't faint. Just have faith. Right? So the contrasts here are many. I'm just going to give you a few of them. Just give you a few of them. Number one, it's not a court of law. It's a throne of grace. Number two, there's a widow that goes before the court of law. But notice what he said here in verse number 7. And shall not God avenge what? His own elect. Brethren, we belong to him. We belong to him. The widow was left to herself, and so she was being taken advantage of. We're not left to ourselves. We're in Christ. We belong to him. We are the elect. God is taking care of us. God is responsible for me. Amen? Is God responsible for you? Now, I'm accountable to him, but he's responsible for me. And if you don't view it that way, you're missing it. You're missing it. Go back in the Old Testament and look at some of the men that went before God, and they said, God, we're jealous of your name. Do this so all the world might know that thou art God, so that the enemies might know that you are God. We don't want them to think that you're not the greatest that there is. We want everyone to know that our God is God, right? Don't we want to know the same thing? Don't we want people to know that our God meets the needs of his people? Don't we want people to know that God, our God hears and answers the prayers of his children? Don't we want to stand and testify that when we call, he answers and shows us great and mighty things? And so this, please don't read these. These two parables are different. And until you see this, it's really not going to help your prayer life much. If you read those two parables thinking, well, yeah, in Luke 11, the Lord is saying that God our Father is like that reluctant friend who said, go away, you bother me, it's late. Well, how discouraging would that be? And then in Luke 18, the judge just says, you know, pretty much, you know, all right, I'll do it because I'm just weary of you asking. God never grows weary of me asking, and God never grows weary of you asking. That's why we're told to pray without ceasing. Keep praying. Have you been praying for something or someone for a year, two, five? Don't stop. Don't stop. The contrast in these are just, this widow really had no grounds to go to the judge. But brethren, we do. And because of time, I'm going to have to bring this to a close, and I want to read you a couple of things. Understand who you are. This is what Jesus is teaching here. You're not some helpless widow that has no one to stand in her behalf. She had no one to stand in her behalf. Brethren, we have a great high priest. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our great intercessor. So we have to understand who we are in him. We have to understand that he invites us to come. God calls us to prayer, right? He tells us, call unto me, and I will answer thee, right? In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God's saying, pray. Prove me. Call on me. Is that what the scripture teaches? Throughout the scripture, God's saying, you come to me. You call on me. You depend on me. Now, why won't we pray more than we pray? Well, I think there's several reasons, and I'm just going to give you a few, and then I'll bring this to a close. Number one, I think pride really gets in the way of our prayer life. I really do. See, self-sufficiency, and we live in a time of abundance, really super abundance, and it's really, really hard when you're just loaded down to understand that your dependency and your sufficiency is in God. But we can and we must. We must realize that all that we have comes from the hand of God. Amen? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of light. Amen. And so help us, Lord, to as we realize we're not self-sufficient. We're not self-reliant. We humble ourselves and we realize if God doesn't meet the need will not get met. If God doesn't supply, the supply will not be there. So this helps me, this helps you to understand to keep going to God in prayer, not to faint, to keep praying without ceasing, right? Keep praying, keep calling, keep approaching the throne of God's grace. Keep, what'd he say? Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And he gave a promise. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's what Jesus said. That's his word, brethren. And everyone that seeketh, findeth. Everyone now. And whoso knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. So God help me, God help you to humble ourselves and not be full of pride and think, well, I've got this or I can do this. I don't need God. And when we pray, we may not say it with our lips. We're saying it with our actions. We don't need God. And so we're going to do this on our own. We're not praying. I think number two, you know, in the scripture, and I wrote this down and because I wanted to write it. I printed it off. I ran across this and I thought, that is, I need to read that. So in the scripture teaches people and it gives examples of people who pray in the morning, who pray at noon, who pray at evening, who pray at night, who pray seven times a day, who pray at midnight, and the stocks are broken and the earthquakes happen, who pray at night, who pray all night, who pray before dawn, who pray for days, Daniel 21. People who pray for weeks, some people who prayed long prayers, some people who prayed short prayers, some people who prayed kneeling, some people who prayed standing, some people who prayed lying on a bed, some people prayed lying face down, some people prayed lying on top of others as they were healing them or raising them from the dead. On the ground, they prayed with their hands up, some prayed with their hands down, some prayed with their hands out, some prayed with their face down, some prayed with their face up. You know, I mean, prayer, brethren. It's prayer. You can pray riding down the road. Amen. You can pray laying in your bed. You can pray sitting on your couch. You can pray in your backyard, your front yard, your living room, your bedroom. You can pray at church. You can pray. We need to pray. And so the scripture says pray without ceasing. And I want to encourage you now, tonight. Would you consider that? How am I going to do it, Pastor? How am I going to get this? I mean, this is a tall order. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus, I can never find. If you can, please bring it to me, and I'm being sincere. I can never find in the scripture where Jesus struggled with anything but prayer. You say he struggled with prayer? Well, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. I'd say that's a struggle. He was in a warfare. He prayed the more earnestly. The scripture said, Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death in the Garden of Gethsemane. As a matter of fact, the power of darkness was so thick in the garden, it put his three chiefest disciples asleep on three different occasions. He went and he prayed, he came back, they were sleeping. And what did he tell them? You know what he told them. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Why is that, Lord? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When it comes to this thing of praying, you're going to need some spirit help. And I am too. Right? It's a warfare. Because the enemy knows you get a hold of God and now he's going to be defeated. You fight your own battles and you're going to be defeated. But you get a hold of God and he's going to be defeated. And so he doesn't want you getting a hold of God and he doesn't want me getting a hold of God. Can I encourage you? Please pray. Please. Don't do it for my sake. Do it for your sake. Do it for your family. Do it for your testimony. Would you? It's important. Do it so you can pray for this, somebody like this. So when someone comes and hands you a note or says, hey, listen, I'm going through a really, really hard place in my life. You can pray for them and it'll mean something. It's important. It's important. And so God help me and God help you. Let's not just talk about being prayer warriors. Let's enlist. Let's be prayer warriors. Well, there's a lot more I could say. Our time is up. I do hope that God challenged your heart, as my heart is being challenged about this matter of prayer. God wants us to pray. All right? Did you get those that I mentioned? Be dependent. Realize that God is your sufficiency. All right? Number two, set a time. David said, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud. That's Psalm 55, verse 12. Set some time to pray. You know, usually if we don't set times to do things, we don't do them. If we just wait until we have time, we usually don't have time. And so I'm going to give you three things. All right? You ready? Please. I'm not saying this is the answer. I'm saying I think it'll help us. It'll help us. Realize your sufficiency. We need God. We need to pray. The way we get God involved in our situation is call Him into them. Pray. Number two, set a time. Set a time. I can't say when that would be for you. Maybe evening, morning, noon. It may be all three. Set a time to pray. All right? Set a time. And then third, keep a prayer journal. Just write down things and people as people come to your mind or they ask you or they hand you a little note that says, pray for my mom and dad. Just write it down and pray. Because if you don't, you'll be like me and you'll forget. But if you write it down, you can just look at it. You say, well, I can't pray and look at my prayer journal, can I? Well, why not? You can pray with your eyes open. You think God doesn't hear your prayers if your eyes are open? Amen. I want you to stand and we'll have prayer and then we'll take some prayer requests. I learned a great lesson about praying with my eyes open. When I was a pastor in South Carolina, we had evangelist Sammy Allen was preaching at our church. And I tell you, it was a great meeting. It went on for 5 weeks. And about the third week,